Blog Talk Radio.
If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right. Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
I am the voice of the voiceless.
Hey, it's about 5 o'clock on Friday, May 20th, 2016, and this is Liberty's Voice with yours truly, Matt Bowen, your host with the most. And we'll get into what's going on in a minute. Just wanted to say welcome to the show, everybody, the Friday edition. Excuse me, I'm drinking soda here and burping. But the last episode had to be canceled due to some technical problems. But I think all the issues have been dealt with now. We may be having a few audio problems still, so bear with me if we do. But we are back and ready for episode 3. And we have some breaking news coming for you to report out of Washington, D.C. just in the last couple of hours. Shots have been fired near the White House. Apparently, there was a man with a gun approaching the White House, a silver pistol, they say, but whatever, approaching the White House, and he was being shadowed by Secret Service agents, and they told him to drop the gun. He refused, ignoring the orders, and he was shot by the by Secret Service agents, and he is in critical condition and taken to George Washington University Hospital in D.C., the D.C. area, and he's critical right now. He's got critical injuries, so I don't know if he's going to survive this, but it's interesting to see what's going on right now. Big scene in D.C. at the moment. I was watching it a few minutes ago on Fox News. And so shots were fired, and as of 2 p.m. Eastern Time, federal offices were on security alert and lockdown. As of about 4 p.m. Eastern, that lockdown has been lifted. But there's still a pretty good scene right now in D.C. There's Secret Service officers out with their weapons out, with big guns, actually. And also, they're searching vehicles and everything. Officers are all over the place, as you might imagine. No one in the White House or on the complex site was hurt or injured. Everybody's safe, they say. The president was not at the White House. He had left a couple hours earlier to go play golf, as usual, I guess. Vice President Biden was at the White House at the time, but he is safe and secured, they said, and everyone's accounted for in the White House area. But that's some breaking news for you from D.C., and I'm glad you tuned in, everybody. We're going to have a good show today. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on with the breaking news and all that. We might be able to get into the latest reports on the crash of Egypt Air Flight 804. May have been terrorism. We'll see about that, though. We'll talk election news, this date in history, do the campus report, and hear from you you guys out there, my listening public, at 646-668-8944. That number again, 646-668-8944. And, of course, the chat is open. And the lines are open if you want to talk to me. And so let's get into the news. Let's get to some other things going on in the world of politics and the world in general. Got some election news for you. A little bit of an election news to report. I'm getting sick of this election already. I hope November comes pretty soon. Because, probably after the conventions, it'll start ramping up pretty far. But here's your election news, and I do want to know what you think of this at 646-668-8944. Latest Fox News poll says voters trust Hillary Clinton more than Donald Trump with nuclear weapons. In fact, she leads Trump in that area by about 11%. Seriously, people? You actually trust that psycho?
You are a meathead.
There's a word I want to say, but I can't say it, and we'll keep this a family show. starts with a B and ends with an H. I think you got the idea. But anyway, people trust Clinton more with the nuclear codes?
Have you been eating loco weed?
I mean, seriously. I don't trust her as far as I can throw her. Same with Obama, but I trust him even less. Though, I mean, either of them will do anything that they can that benefits them. And that's the way it seems to be right now. But anyway, that's what's going on in election news. Voters seem to trust Hillary Clinton more than Donald Trump with the nuclear weapons. And I'm wondering why that is, because from the Benghazi affair in Libya, of course, a couple of years ago, everybody seems to have forgotten about that one, but I think Hillary definitely has blood on her hands. And I don't like her at all. I really hope she doesn't become the next president, but as I've said before, I'm not sure that we can prevent that at the moment. But you know what they say about psychos with nuclear codes? Start going into the fallout shelters now. Anyways. We'd like to hear from you at 646-668-8944 if you're out there listening. 646-668-8944. And I believe we'll go into this date in history and then the campus report coming up. We have about 35 minutes, so we'll probably get to some other stuff too, like the Egypt Air Flight 804 crash. But anyway, here is your This Date in History. All right, This Day in History. May 20th, it is, of course, this date in history. May 20th, 1862, President Abraham Lincoln signed the Homestead Act. And what that did, the Homestead Act, it pretty much opened up the West for settlement for the pioneers. And opened up the western frontier. And 250 million acres of free land was provided to pioneer settlers that would go out there and make their homes. Really opened up the western frontier of the United States. In 1902, May 20th, 1902, the American occupation of Cuba ended at the end of the Spanish-American War, which saw us occupy Cuba, and we fought as well in the Philippines and Puerto Rico, Philippines becoming a protectorate or commonwealth or something of the United States for a while until we granted them independence. And we also got Puerto Rico out of it and Guam, I think, as well. If I'm not mistaken with that. Also, on this date in history, May 20th, 1927, Charles Lindbergh, Lucky Lindbergh, they used to call him, Lucky Lindy, began what would be the first solo nonstop transatlantic flight from Roosevelt Field in Long Island, New York, to Paris. And, very big feat for aviation. He made it over there on the Spirit of St. Louis, his airplane. And we've got one more report from the historical files here. That was May 20th, 1927. And on May 20th, 1961, a date in civil rights history, a white mob attacked black civil rights activists in Montgomery, Alabama on May 20th, 1961. And the 60s, man. That was quite a decade, I wonder. A lot of change going on in everything. I wonder what it was like to be alive in the 60s, because, of course, I'm not that old. But anyway, 646-668-8944 is the number to call. 646-668-8944, and that is this day in history. I might have to reconnect people because the audio quality here on Skype is not that great right now. So I might have to reconnect. I'll do a sound test really quick.
This calls for immediate discussion.
Yeah, I will reconnect and be right back. And just bear with me, people, because the audio is not very good right now. So bear with me. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. We'll test
this
sound
calls
again.
For immediate discussion.
Well, it works now. Hope everybody heard on the last feature, This Day in History. I didn't know we were having audio problems, but hopefully I've got them fixed now. I have intermittent audio problems sometimes with Skype. I don't know how to fix that. If anybody knows how to fix that, please give me a call. 646-668-8944. Of course, if you want to talk about political stuff too, 646-668-8944.
This calls for immediate discussion.
And as I was saying, that is the thing. I find it hard to play sounds right now. It's kind of hard to play the sounds right now.
This calls for immediate discussion. This calls for immediate discussion.
I don't know why the sounds are not working. Hey, RL, can you hear me out there? He's not on the switchboard right now, but I'm hoping everybody can hear me okay. What's the deal here, RL? My friend RL is out there listening to me, and he can hear me okay, apparently, just the sounds aren't playing too well, and that happens sometimes. But anyway, that was the, this date in history for May 20th, Next up, let's talk a little bit about the campus report, if we can. If I can play this sound, we'll try playing the sound, but I don't know if it's going to work. My little campus report intro. No, that's not going to work. shut up. Anyway, the campus report coming up, and we're talking a little bit about issues on American college campuses. And I had a little bit of Alice Cooper there with Schools Out, but of course it won't play too well. Krampus, that says RL. Hey, RL, call in if you want. 646-668-8944. I'd love to hear from you. Need some callers. But today's campus report, of course, we're talking about free speech on the college campuses. And I have a couple of examples here. It's definitely under attack, I'd say, on the campuses of America, the college campuses of America. Basically, I've done some research on this. Might do a special report on it in a few days, but if you present an alternative opinion that is alternative to the whole liberal talking points, because you know these colleges are really liberal right now. But if you present an alternative opinion, you're called names, you're insulted, and basically it's very hostile. And sometimes you're actually punished for your opinion. As I have seen in some of the news lately. And there's a good organization that actually fights the good fight against the liberal shutting down of free speech, as it were. Hold on 1 second. Had a frog in my throat. But RL says, broomstick Hillary for prison. And the chat's open too, RL. If you want to come in there. We do have a guest in the chat right now. That might be him. So, hello, guest. Guest 1045 in the chat. And anyway, on these college campuses right now, you're basically punished if you have an alternative conservative opinion. A conservative opinion at all. You can't say that, basically, is the idea. And I have a couple of examples here. But first, let me tell you about this organization that's fighting for more free speech on college campuses. I will try to do an interview with somebody from there in maybe a couple weeks. It's called FIRE. It's the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education. And they do good work on behalf of free speech on college campuses, which, of course, I'm saying is under attack. And here's some examples. From a story on Fox News, of course, at Cerritos College in Norwalk, California, student Dominique Blair started a chapter of the conservative group Turning Point USA. And she says she's been bullied not only for her views, and this is the words of Fox News, not me, but specifically for being a conservative African American. She says she spent 3 hours the other day being berated and taunted, being called like a race traitor, an Uncle Tom, and a coconut by her fellow black students. And I guess there were students that are saying that, you'll have to face the black God one day. And really, I don't care if God is black or white, but or Hispanic. I don't care what race he is, but that's besides the point. God is black. You will have to face him one day and repent for supporting
conservatives, pretty much.
Here's another one. At Claremont McKenna College in California, recent graduate Hannah O. Was dubbed a, and I guess this is the new phrase for liberals, a shady person of color. What's that all about? Shady person of color.
Have you been eating loco weed?
Okay, I'm gonna not play my sounds right now because they're not playing too well. And why was she called that? A shady person of color? Because she, while she was in school, she headed up the student newspaper and opposed demands for safe spaces. These new safe spaces things. Oh, we've got to be protected from being offended. Newsflash, college kids, you do not have the right to not be offended. You don't have the right to not be offended. That's not... That doesn't make sense, anyway. And she was pretty much... I want to say ostracized, if you know what that word means. Condemned, pretty much. Shady person of color. I use big words, but hopefully they'll sink in. And I'll give you definitions if you need them. And she also wrote in defense of a dean who was forced to resign for saying the university needed to do a better job serving students who don't fit our mold. So, free speech definitely under attack on these college campuses. And, you know, I have thought about, and I'm probably going to do it, a little investigative reporting on that issue. There are campuses around here in my area of southwestern Connecticut. They seem to be a little shady on the issue of free speech, and I'm not sure what the prevailing attitude is there. In my area here, we have Fairfield University, the Fairfield University Stags that play in the Division One basketball and everything, but. Nice little school here of about 4,000, 5,000 students, Catholic school. Very much a presence in this area, Fairfield University. And then we have the University of Bridgeport, which at one time was run by the people associated with Reverend Sung Young Moon, if you know who he is, leader of a Japanese religious cult. And they used to call them the Moonies. I don't know if they're still owned by that organization, which is like a universal church of whatever. They used to call them the Moonies. They used to make fun of them pretty much. I did. And not that they're not capable of not worthy of being made fun of now, but I'm not sure about free speech on that campus either. Of course, they have your community radio station, of course, which I'm not condemning or anything. They have a little radio station there, which, full disclosure, I am actually a volunteer for. Do have a little bit of a problem with that station. Not that I would want to quit volunteering here's the thing, the issue I have with them. They don't really go for the conservative viewpoint. That's not our demographic, they said to me. But it's okay. Don't let me go, people. I like volunteering there. Don't let me go just because I said that. And that's the problem. If you say something different than the liberal viewpoint, you're told you can't say that and you're basically fired or punished or whatever on the college campuses. But the phone number to talk about that kind of stuff, 646-668-8944. 646-668-8944. Got a couple of good comments from RL in the chat and everything. But continuing with the free speech, there was an incident this past, I think it was March or April, something like that, at Fairfield University. It was actually an off-campus incident, so I don't know about that, but it was an off-campus incident. Apparently, some students hosted a party where it was like a costume party, and people showed up like dressed in like blackface. And the next day, the student union and people at the university say, "Oh no, we can't have that. We're gonna look into this, and something's gonna happen." To which I say, why is the university, I mean, they can be involved a little bit in off-campus activities, but as far as speech and association at an off-campus activity, why are they even involved? Why do they even have a say in it? I mean, these kids have to be free to express themselves and do what they want to do in life. And the liberal idea really much, pretty much is, no, you can't do that. You have to do what we say. So, dissenting opinions are welcome at 646-668-8944. But other stuff on the free speech, easy for me to say. At the University of Southern California, the president of the College Republicans there, Jacob Ellenhorn is his name, was impeached from the Student Senate. I mean, well, he was president of the College Republicans. If he still is, I don't know. He was impeached from the Student Senate because classmates said that his opinions are hostile to theirs. And he says it's definitely getting out of hand. And the students are even more uncivil, so to speak, than even the professors at USC, he says. And if you have done your research on this, you see that some of these professors at these colleges, at liberal colleges, are like, well, just to give you another example here, there's Bill Ayers, who is an avowed domestic terrorist. In the 60s, his group, the Weathermen, for historical reference, the 60s again, bombed the Capitol building in Washington. And people died because of that. But then after 9/11, he comes back and he says, he was interviewed and he says, "I don't regret what we did. I just regret it didn't make more of an impact," basically. So he is what you would call scumbag, in my opinion. Killer, scumbag, domestic terrorist. And, well, I don't think that's pretty much, I don't think that's in dispute that he's a domestic terrorist. But, of course, he's buddy-buddy with, guess who? Barack Obama. And he's this big educator now. He's a big professor at some university, I think, outside of Chicago. And the thought comes to my mind, why are we letting these people teach our kids? Because you know what they're going to teach them about. Oh, America sucks. The government sucks, which it does. America sucks. We've got to apologize for things that happened in the past, for things that we did. We're the terrorists. The whole liberal talking point, like their extreme liberal talking point, and go out and be violent, bomb people, bomb things. And I don't get that. I mean, it's not my thing. I've never subscribed to that point of view. because that's violence and that's terrorism, and that doesn't fly with anybody that I would say anybody who thinks straight. It's nonsense. Okay, the sounds are dropping out as usual. I would have to reconnect to get them going, but I'm not going to do that. I would love to know what you guys think at 646-668-8944. 646-668-8944. And I see we have a couple of my friends online. Josh, the resident libertarian. Hey, Josh, if you're listening. My friend Craig from Iowa. I'll give him the link. And we have Jaron from Oregon also on Facebook right now. And I don't multitask too well, so bear with me, people. But anyway, hey guys, Craig, Josh, Jaron, if you're listening. RL, I know, is still hanging around, but he can't call in or whatever. But I'm on the air. 646-668-8944 to call in about 12 minutes. We've got just under, I'd say 12 and a half, or just about 12 and a half minutes left in the show. And we'll see if we can get up to that point, but we might have to end it a little early. But 646-668-8944 is the number to call. 646-668-8944. The chat is open as usual. Next on the old agenda. Well, we talked about the campus report and this date in history and the breaking news out of D.C. with shots fired near the White House. Well, I'd say next on the agenda here is the crash of Egypt Air Flight 804. Wait. Over that was yesterday, I believe. And let me just bring up the latest news on it on the old CNN page here, not Fox News for this one, but CNN. And here's what's going on and what we know right now. There were some smoke alerts before the crash of that plane, Egypt Air Flight 804, from Paris to Cairo. And at the moment, they're saying it was probably terrorism. There's more evidence to suggest that it was terrorism than like a catastrophic failure. Of course, music starts on this page. But they are recovering some debris and other stuff from the crash area. Seats, aircraft parts, body parts, personal belongings, suitcases, that kind of stuff. A very morbid kind of job. It's morbid meaning, of course I'm using the big words here, but morbid meaning this is not a job I would want to be doing, like, because of this tragedy. It pretty much means I wish I didn't have to do this. Anyway, the latest news on that is, according to Egyptian military, the spokesman for the Egyptian military, the searching process is underway, and there are. Other things, further findings and debris and everything in different locations, but they don't know if those findings have to do with flight 804, this Egypt Air flight. And 56 passengers, 10 crew members aboard the flight. As they say in crashes and everything, there were 66 souls aboard. Early Thursday, of course, this flight disappeared from radar as it flew to Cairo, Egypt, from Paris, France. Should have been about a 3.5-hour flight. And according to Egyptian officials, they very much suspect terrorism in this incident. So what went wrong on the flight? Here's what happened. At some point before it dropped off radar, according to CNN, the plane swerved 90 degrees to the left, then made a 360-degree turn to the right before plunging to 15,000 and then 10,000 feet and disappearing from the radar. And officials with the Egyptian military say the way the plane veered and then fell out of the sky leads them to believe it's probably terrorism. Nothing yet implicating the flight crew or security officials aboard the plane. It could have been a catastrophic failure, but analyst with CNN, his name is Miles O'Brien, like the guy in Star Trek, of course, says it's very difficult to come up with that kind of scenario that says catastrophic failure. It may have been, it probably will end up being, in my opinion, a deliberate act. And they did try to reach the pilot before it happened, but no response from the plane. Most of those passengers, the 66, most of the 66 aboard, the 56 passengers and 10 crew members were Egyptian, but also a lot of passengers from the Middle East and 15 French citizens, also 2 Canadians. So that is the latest on what is happening with that. They haven't yet located that black box, the flight data recorder, and the voice recorder. So they're saying it's probably terrorism, but I don't know. I don't really want to speculate on that yet. We'll see what happens with when more news comes out. But it might have been. Maintenance checks on the plane reported no snags, and the captain had about 6,000 flying hours. But of course, the head flight attendants and the pilots were all these Mohammed Saeed Shokair and something, and names like that. And I wonder if it was possible, if it is possible, that one or both of the pilots had one of those death wishes, Islamic death wish kind of thing. Allahu Akbar, I'm going to Allah today. That kind of thing. But I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with that. And if you want to voice your opinion on what you think happened, 646-668-8944. I know we've got some listeners out there somewhere. Craig, Jaron, maybe Wyatt. Although he says he's at work. But that is the latest on Egypt Air Flight 804 crashed into the Mediterranean Sea on Thursday. And I'll tell you what this reminds me of. A little bit, it reminds me of, I don't know why, but TWA Flight 800 in 96. It just had an explosion and dropped right out of the sky. And so it reminds me of that a little bit off the coast of New York. And we've got about maybe 4.5 minutes left. Of course, we've been talking about Egypt Air Flight 804. We talked about the breaking news out of D.C. with shots fired near the White House. We did the campus report. And newsflash to college kids. You always say that life should be more fair and equitable and equality for everybody, I've got a newsflash for you. Life's not there. And if you go around whining about how, oh, the world owes me, you'll never get anywhere. That's my opinion, though. So, grow up, kids. You hear something that offends you, suck it up and grow a thicker skin. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem in life because a lot of things are going to offend you, and you can't just say, well, I'm offended, so you should be punished for your views and you shouldn't be able to say that. That's not how the world works, from somebody who knows. Also, election news. A Fox News poll says voters trust Hillary Clinton more than Donald Trump with the nuclear weapons. So what's up with that? I don't know. We also discussed this date in history. And talked about what happened on this date in history, May 20th, including President Abraham Lincoln signing the Homestead Act and opening up the West to settlers and pioneers in the western frontier of the United States. With about 2.5 minutes left, I think I want to go into some news about this show and about stuff I'm doing lately, because I've got some ideas for other stuff. I am actually setting up at this time, I'm in the planning process, a little local community radio station in my very much in my local neighborhood. The deal is I'm setting up a Park 15 AM station. Now, according to Part 15 of the FCC bylaws and everything, you can have so much power. You can have like a certain amount of power on your radio signal and transmit with that, as long as you don't go over the certain amount of power they specify. You can do your own thing on radio in your neighborhood, and you don't need an FCC license. I don't know what exactly the formalities are with that, but I'll be getting a transmitter and everything, and probably transmitting starting mid-June or something on 1630 a.m. here in the local Bridgeport-Stratford area of Connecticut. Signal could probably get out a couple miles. That's it. So I'll keep streaming on the web, of course. But I'll be on the air, I think, in the near future on 1630 a.m. That's on your a.m. dial in the Bridgeport-Stratford area for a couple miles anyway. We've got 60 seconds left in the show, and that's pretty much the news from my neck of the woods and from your neck of the woods and latest goings on, breaking news. We discussed the campus report, election news, this date in history, and we'll be back again to do it one more time. Episode 4 will be next Tuesday, and that will be, according to my calendar, May 24th. We've got about 20 seconds left. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And definitely in your area, watch out, because Liberty's Voice is coming to 1630 a.m., people. Hey, thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday. See you later.